This CKNW podcast is brought to you by Destination Toyota in Burnaby, BC's number one Toyota dealer for the sales purchase experience.
Hey, and welcome to the show. It's good to have you with me this weekend. We are going to do open phones after we have an interview with Jack Hollis from Scion in the United States. So if you want to call 1-877-399-9898. That's 1-877-399-9898 or 604-280-9898. Those are the numbers to get on if you want to talk about anything automotive. And there are a lot of new cars coming to market over the next little while. The one that is the most exciting is the Scion FRS. This is being built with Subaru. Subaru's model is called the BRZ. And Scion has the FRS, a joint venture between Subaru and Toyota. Toyota owns a very small percentage of Subaru. I think it's about 14%. This is a joint venture, developed the platform, the motor, and the injection system. And there, if for those of you who are not aware, this car has a huge buzz for the people that are into the tuning crowd, people that like to take their car to autocrosses or take them to the track. Because it's right back to the core of what a sports car really is all about. Not all the electronic aids, just a pure, well-balanced car with a wonderful engine and rear-wheel drive, which is what real driving enthusiasts crave. So I had a chance to speak to Jack Hollis, the vice president of Scion in the United States, recently at the New York Auto Show. First, we talk about making a modern-day sports car efficient, and then we get into the fun-to-drive part of it.
So tell us how you make a rear-wheel drive sports car even more efficient.
Well, it takes a lot of great engineers, first of all. I'm working in the Toyota and Scion family. It's a great family to be from. What we do, really, for the Scion FRS is we've adopted our D4S injection system. Ultimately, it was adopted from the Lexus ISF. So it's a high-performance injection system, and it runs off of 8 injectors. And what's great is, well, you know, based on, you know, strategically on your driving performance and your driving characteristics, the vehicle is reading your pressure, and it can decide between using 4 or 8 injectors, which then allows it to be the most efficient, highest performance with a really clean output. So that's truly the way it works, at least for Scion, for the FRS.
So under light load, only 4 injectors are providing fuel.
Yeah, that's correct. And the nice thing about having a Scion FRS is we're under 2,800 pounds, and so have a lightweight car. Great output engine. So when it's at easy use or at normal use, you can have your 4 injectors. But when you really want to step on it, you really want to go for it. And when this car is about going for it and having fun, you get your 8 injectors, you're still really getting a great ride and really the most efficient performance.
Is this the very first direct injection Boxer engine?
It is. This is a great collaboration using the Boxer engine, a 2-liter Boxer engine, as well as the D4S injection system. It's a combination of two great companies, two great, you know, technological pieces, and it's the first output. So we're really excited about where it's going.
What would you say is the biggest advantage to getting this car light? Like, how did you achieve that?
You know, there's a lot of ways, and to go into specifics would probably take me your entire segment. However, really things like a lightweight hood versus a regular steel hood. And ultimately, all of the components in this car were looked at one by one to take as much weight out and performance up. And we've done a really good job with it.
So what kind of numbers do you get out of this performance-wise, 0 to 60, those top speed numbers?
You know, I love to give you their top speed numbers, but we're not quite ready to release that yet, mostly because they haven't been fully tested. I will tell you this. What this car really is, it is a driver's car. It's not a muscle car. It's a true sports car in the terms of handling and the performance in handling. The most fun is when you can accelerate into that turn, hold that line, and kind of rip it in and out of, you know, traffic or having fun. It is a great, exciting handling vehicle.
And some of the most fun cars are not the most powerful because the driver has to get the most out of the car.
What I think was most important about this car was that it was built around the driver. And even the inspiration and kind of the collaboration with Akio Toyota himself, being a certified race car driver, it was really important. He put his fingerprints all over this and was based on the driver's ability to drive. And it wasn't a lot of bells and whistles. It was about how do you build the best car, lightweight, great output, great MPG, and still give it that best driving dynamics. And we really believe we put that whole package together for the consumer, and now it's up to the consumer to tell us.
Would you say that some manufacturers have gone too far with making the cars almost drive themselves with all-wheel drive, with all of the electronic aids? It's refreshing just to get back to a car that is simple.
You know, thank you. I think the idea of simple and driving is critical. I think car companies have done a great job to match what consumers are asking for. But a lot of times consumers are asking for things they're not even sure exactly what they're asking for. In this case, we went back to this simple, make the driver, make it all about the driving experience. Great audio systems, they're great. This car has that. Great controls, this car has that. But ultimately, what's most important? That steering wheel, tires, that engine's performance, and then combined with our injection system, we really believe that we have taken the elements that are foofy, that are fluffy, that aren't really critical to the driving experience away, and put all of that investment into the driver. And we really believe the driver is going to come away from this going, wow, I love this car.
Have you, what was the last car do you think that had this much buzz around it? Have you been around a car that's had this much excitement about it coming to market?
Well, maybe the Lexus LFA, but that's probably for a limited group. So there's been a lot of buzz around that. It's been a long time. Matter of fact, at least from within our family, I'd say the Toyota Supra. You know, the twin turbo Supra had that kind of buzz, and then even after it ended, you get into the Fast and Furious movies where you see that car portrayed in that. This car has that authenticity and may even have that authentic driver's feel even greater than that. It's tough. I don't really think there's a lot of comparable cars, at least within the last 10 years.
Yeah, and then the internet now, you've been able to really catch on to the excitement that, where we didn't have that years ago.
Again, it goes back to people who are really true drivers. I don't mean just tuners. I mean people who want to love to drive. And that's every age from 16 to 66 years old. It doesn't matter. The buzz is about people see Scion as an authentic brand who really is there for the consumer. Now you put a car that's just delivering on that with a phenomenal style. We're looking forward to it. We think the buzz is legit. We'll find out now if we start selling them and have some fun with it.
That's Jack Hollis, the vice president of Scion in the United States. We caught up with him on the floor of the New York Auto Show. And the reason I'm playing this interview now, because the Scion is going to be coming to market here in the next little while, next month or so. And it really is. If you don't know anything about this car or the cousin, as I mentioned, it's a joint venture between Toyota, the Scion brand, and Subaru. You have the FRS for Scion, and you have the BRZ for Subaru. It's a lightweight car, as Jack mentioned. It's got a boxer engine. That means horizontally opposed, like the old Volkswagen Beetle engines. And we did talk about it being the first direct injection. Obviously, Porsche has direct injection in their boxer engines, but the first one for Subaru and definitely for Toyota. So this car is from the friends of mine who have driven it, say it really is the real deal. So the car costs $25,990. That's with a manual transmission. If you want to get the automatic transmission, it's $27,170, and it's a perfectly balanced car with 200 horsepower and a lot of fun. You know what we're going to do now? We're going to throw it open to you. I know it's Mother's Day, and I know that you might be going to mom's house, buying flowers, doing all that kind of stuff. But if you're in the market for a new or used car, if you want to find out anything more about it, I do get lots of emails. You're more than welcome to get in touch with me on the phone here for the rest of the show, 1-877-399-9898. Or 604-280-9898. That's 1-877-399-9898 or 604-280-9898. We're going to come back. We're going to speak with Mark Bergevin. Get your phone calls going next on Driving. All right, it's time to get in touch with Mark Bergevin. He calls every single week with a good news story from Odessa Richmond Public Auction. Somebody takes their car down and comes away happy. So which vehicle are we focusing on this week, Mark?
We're focusing on a 02 Land Rover where a customer brought it in. They had taken it into the dealership. They bought a new vehicle, Zach, and didn't like the offer they received from the dealership, so they brought it in to us. We placed it into the auction, and they put a reserve of $2,500 on it, and the next auction it sold for $3,200.
Wow, that is amazing. That's quite something. So it's an 02 Land Rover.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
So it kind of shows you that these premium luxury vehicles, how far they can fall in their value after 10 years. So that's somebody picked up a nice vehicle for a good price.
Yeah, well, it's good for both sides, Zach, really. It's good for the seller because they don't have to deal with the problem anymore. And again, good for the buyer because they have an opportunity to get a good deal.
All right, there you go. If you can't remember the Odessa website, you can always go to my website, motormouth.ca, and on the top you'll see the banner ad for Odessa. You click on that. That's an easy way to get through to them. All right, off to the phone board, and we say hello to Terry. Hey, Terry, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Awesome.
Hey, I just had a question. I just bought a 2012 Ford F-150 Platinum with the EcoBoost motor in it.
Now, I just took one back on Monday. I had it for a week. Well, I just want to hear your opinion of it.
Well, I haven't had a lot of chance to drive it because I'm on shift right now, and I know some people that own them, and I've heard some different reviews regarding the fuel mileage, and I guess, you know, with the EcoBoost, you know, they're hyping up the engine and how economical it is versus power.
Well, it's got loads of power. That it does have.
Yeah, and, you know, for a V6 motor, I'm very happy with it, but I'm going to be pulling an RV with it, and that's where my question is regarding the fuel mileage. Some people are saying that it just drops right off to nothing, and some people are saying that it actually improves, so...
I've done some reading on this, and there's a train of thought that some people say just buy the 5-liter V8, and if you're using it for hauling. Now, here's the thing. You're going to go RVing this summer, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And you go for how long?
Well, it's not really, not so much for, like, the distance, but it's, you know, might be half a dozen to a dozen times a year, and, you know, if you only go 300 or 400 kilometers one way, you know, it's not going to be substantial.
That's what I want to get at with this, is that the one way I try to frame the EcoBoost engine, this is a perfect engine for somebody that is not going to be using their F-150 for heavy use all the time, right? So, right. Yes, maybe for those 6 times a year that you're taking your fifth wheel and you're going camping and stuff with your family, that's when you're going to use more fuel. But the rest of the time, when you're just using it to commute or around, you know, where you live, it's going to have a light load because you don't have all of that weight obviously being towed. So yes, the mileage is not going to be as good as when the truck is empty. It won't be with any truck, but you do get the efficiency. And what I really think it all comes down to is your driving style. If you're somebody that stomps on the gas from traffic light to traffic light, and when you merge on the highway, you just kick it all the way down and you use all that power because the power is intoxicating. It's got lots of juice. Then you're going to burn lots more fuel. If, however, you can just, you drive the vehicle. I had the F-150 for a week, and I just cruised around it. I treated it like a big luxury sedan because that's how it drives. It's so smooth and quiet. And then, you know, when you needed it, I put 2 yards of soil in the back. I used it for landscaping, which I maybe even overloaded the back of it, but it drove beautifully. I didn't have it long enough to get a real good gauge on the fuel economy, but you've got to factor it into a whole year's worth of fuel. So yes, maybe for those 6 or 8 trips you're doing 300K and using more fuel, the opposite side you're using less.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, and that's kind of what I thought. I just wanted to, you know, you hear some of the people, they exaggerate a little bit. Oh, no, that's not the one you want. You want the V8. And I, from the people that I've heard and then just my experience with it that I've had, it's I don't see why I go to that. This engine's got so much power, and it's just...
Well, you get more towing capacity than you do with the V8. Like, if you get the 5-liter V8, which is a great motor, you don't get the same towing capacity and torque that you get with the EcoBoost engine. It's got the same towing and torque, the same towing capacity as their 6.2-liter Super Duty motor. You know, that's their premium motor in the F-Series. So, it's quite a machine. And a good friend of mine owns a Ford dealer. He tells me they just can't keep them in stock. People are all over them.
Yeah, no, it's. I had a hard time finding the one that I wanted. So
like, when you got the trailer and you're going with the family this summer, you're going to use more fuel. No question about it. But
and,
just keep.
I think it doesn't really matter what engine you have. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, it's logical, right?
Yeah. So. But I'd love for you to call back at the end of the summer and you know, let me know how life was with the Super Duty. Sorry, the F-150 with the EcoBoost engine.
You betcha, I will. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Terry. Cheers.
Yeah, bye.
Okay, we're going to go to Steve. Hey, Steve. Steve in Calgary, go ahead.
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm looking at an SUV that, you know, can handle the whole family, last a long time, and maybe tow a Skidoo, but not in a position to go brand new right now. And I'm looking at, you know, a Pathfinder that's kind of in between 04 and 07 in that range, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are.
How many kids do you have?
I got 2 so far.
Okay. The reason is when they switched from the 5-seater Pathfinder, which I think was it was 05 or 06, then they went to the bigger Pathfinder, and that gets you 3 rows of seats. But
right.
The second row of seats is horrible in that. I mean, I can't believe how badly designed the second and third row of seats is in the Pathfinder. For me, if you don't have number three yet, right?
Yeah.
You might want to go for the older Pathfinder if you can find a good one in good shape with the kilometers and, you know, the price and everything you need.
Really?
Because the back seat is, I find, much more comfortable. So the newer one is bigger, but they jam three rows of seats in there, and the nobody wins. It's like there's all of these compromises to get the third row in there. So I would rather not have the third row if you don't need it, and get a little more comfort.
Right. Okay. Now that's good to know. As far as I see, lots of those older model Pathfinders on the road. Is it a vehicle that, you know, if you buy a Pathfinder, the Nissan SUVs, they last a long time? You know, are they known for having problems or reliable?
What I would suggest you do, and I say this to anybody that's looking for a used car, is that you definitely looking for the history. Like when you buy a fancy dog, you want its pedigree, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with a used car. You want its history, its warranty, it's all the maintenance that's been done. So you want a vehicle that's been well maintained. Now, you can go to like a Pathfinder web forum, which I suggest you do, and look to see if there's any common problems with that vehicle. The other one that you should be looking for is the Toyota 4Runner. So the two of them would be the two if you're looking for a Japanese reliable truck that's capable of towing. You know, a Skidoo is not a big towing. You know, it's not like a big motorhome or something.
No.
So it's not that heavy. But you're going to get the off-road capability, driving over gravel roads, and it's a truck-based sort of unit, right? So those two are the two vehicles. The newer Pathfinder is a bit bigger. With the bit being bigger, it could use more fuel, and it's not as comfortable, I don't feel. That last year of Pathfinder, the smaller one, I do believe it came with a V8 engine, and that thing was a bit of a hot rod. But you might be overbuying with that. You might just go for the V6 for better fuel economy.
Right.
Okay?
Okay. One last quick question on used SUVs. I noticed a lot of Land Rovers out there that are used for, you know, quite a bit less than they sell for brand new. And
we just had a good news story from Odessa there that you just heard.
I heard that
they fall quickly because Land Rover Range Rover has had one of the worst repair records in the auto industry for, you know, many, many years. So a lot of people shy away from them because they can be very expensive to fix and they can break down. So new, and you know, they're a very prestigious brand. People who own them love them, but when they start to break down, you can run into problems. You need to know what you're getting into in order to look for a vehicle like that. We're doing open phones today. Quick break. We have Nathan, Jorge, Steve, Peter all on the phone. We'll continue our conversation next on Driving. And welcome back to the show. It's good to have you along with us. If you have time when the show's done, you can always go to motormouth.ca. There's all kinds of feature articles on the homepage. You can also drill in and find all kinds of information on the homepage. You'll see an interview and a video done on the all-new Ford Escapes, not even in dealers yet, but you can find out more about that car. Also, the Mazda CX-5's been out for, I don't know, a month or so, and that's the compact crossover from Mazda. There's a new review there of the Nissan Versa. Also, the Dodge Dart, which is coming out in about 6 weeks, the new BMW 3 Series, the new Lexus GS. There's all kinds of stuff at motormouth.ca. And when you're on motormouth.ca, you can scroll down and you'll see the real-life, real-lease stories from LeaseBusters. And the one this week is about Adriana, who lives in Peterborough, Ontario, always coveted the Jeep Wrangler. The Jeep Wrangler is one of the most iconic shaped vehicles in the auto industry. It's have the off-road capabilities, and she really wants one. So she's been searching for a really good used one. She's specific about the features and the color, and she's out there looking around on all different kinds of used car sites like Auto Trader or driving.ca, and she's not finding a whole lot of Wranglers that meet her needs. Then she just types in used Wranglers into like Google or Yahoo, and up comes LeaseBusters and the whole bunch on leasebusters.com of Wranglers. And she contacts one that she absolutely loves. It's the right color. It's everything she wants. And she goes and makes an appointment to look at the vehicle. She drives it. She sees all the records on the vehicle. It's had 4 oil changes. It's had 1 minor repair under warranty, but really likes the condition of this vehicle. Then she says to the person that's got the vehicle posted on leasebusters.com, "I want to buy it." And the guy says, "Well, I'm wanting somebody to take over my lease. I'm not prepared to sell the vehicle. It's not my vehicle. I lease it. So anyway, they phone the contact person at leasebusters.com that informs them if Adriana really likes this Jeep and wants to buy it instead of taking over the lease, they have to get in touch with Chrysler Financial. Well, they get in touch with Chrysler Financial and they get the buyout amount, which is what you would have to pay them to take the vehicle off lease and just keep it and purchase it. So they get the number, and it's a little bit more than Adriana wanted to spend. So anyway, they go back and forth and they negotiate on a price. So Adriana pays the amount that she's comfortable with for this new Jeep Wrangler, and the person that has the lease and wants somebody to take it over absorbs the rest and pays the fees to have it transferred over. So he's away from a lease that he doesn't need anymore, and Adriana is in her dream Jeep. So if you want to find out more about this real life, real lease story and how you can not only take over a lease, but also buy out a vehicle, go to my website, as I mentioned, motormouth.ca, and you'll see it right there on the homepage under real life, real lease stories.
And we go back to the phone board and we say hello. By the way, we're doing open phones for the remainder of the show. You're more than welcome to call at 1-877-399-9898. That's 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. Nathan's on the phone. Hey, Nathan, go ahead.
Hey, Zach. How you doing?
Good.
I got an 05 Dodge 1500, and when I bought the extended warranty and everything for it, which is expired now, but about the first year or two, I noticed some bubbling in the passenger side door frame, like right where the door skin kind of curves over and meets the inside of the door frame.
Where it's bent around there.
Yeah, exactly, like right at the very top. And I took it into the dealership, and they said, no, it's probably just glue. And that made sense to me because they use a lot of urethane rather than welding these days. It just kept getting worse and worse, and I kept taking it back. No, it's just glue. And now it's so obvious that it's rust, and it's rusted all the way through. Is there any sort of recourse that I have? Even though, like, I brought it to their attention, they kept saying no.
Do you have any documentation that, for example, when you went and you saw the advisor, did they write it up on the inspection report for them to check it?
I don't know. I know that I made at least three separate appointments, so they do have the appointments on file, I'm sure.
The thing is, having a paper trail, if you could sort of prove that you had. Asked them to look at it, and they had looked at it, and this is what they determined the outcome to be, and you could show, for example, say you had a vibration at 100 kilometers an hour in a car, and before the warranty, you took it back 3 or 4 times, and they could never get rid of the vibration, and then after warranty, you still had the problem and went back, they would be obliged to. That's a continuing problem, right? You've got a continuing problem, but you have to, establish the fact that you brought it to their attention before. So that's something you'd probably have to get from them, is to get some kind of paperwork to show that you had this problem. The good news is that it's not probably an expensive fix if you had to pay for it.
Right.
Or you might go to them and they might split the cost with you, right? There's all kinds of negotiations. Yeah. So because what they're going to do is they're going to dismantle a door, they're going to sand it and prime it and paint it. Unfortunately, depending on what color the truck is.
Extremely difficult color to match.
Yeah, that's your problem. So they might be able to, just where that area is, fix it and then blend it in. So that's something a body shop or their body shop could look at for you. So it's something you should address because rust only, it's a cancer, right? It's only going to keep creeping through the vehicle. But at the end of the day, it doesn't sound like it's a big fix, but that's something you can negotiate with them. If you can get the paperwork from them and say, do you have my, the times I came in and made appointments, can I get a copy of those from you and then see what they say. And if you have a good relationship with the service manager, you say, listen, this has been an ongoing problem. I brought it to your attention. Is a service advisor there that you went to see still there?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so you might get some, they might, open up and say, yeah, we remember this. So maybe you have to just negotiate as to how much they're going to pay and how much you're going to pay, right?
Perfect. Yeah. Just one quick question. Can you recommend a good chip for the 5.7 liter Hemi?
It's not so much a chip. There's aftermarket things that you plug into your, what's it called, OBD2 port, which is underneath the dash. It plugs in there.
Right. Underneath the dash,
you bet. And you can get different programs, whether you want it for fuel efficiency, whether you want it for more torque. I would go to a truck specialty shop When you're calling from Calgary, there's definitely going to be Truck Specialty Shop in Alberta, and ask them which one they recommend, because you can for example, if you're going to be towing, you can flash the system to optimize torque, and then when you're done with that, you can put it back for better efficiency.
That's exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah, so they have those tools that you can buy, and they range in price. Some are very expensive, but you know, I think some of them are fairly reasonably priced.
Perfect. Thanks
okay?
for your time.
Good luck. Anytime. All right, we're going to go next to Peter. Hey, Peter.
Morning. How are you?
Great.
Have you had a chance to drive the new 2013 Acura RDX?
I haven't, but my co-host on Driving Television, Lacey, has. I didn't go to the RDX launch. It was just, you know, I travel every week pretty much, and I just I couldn't go to all of them. It's my son's birthday. That's why I stayed home.
Oh.
So I think that was a better move, but especially inside the house, because,
sure.
You know, I don't like sleeping in the garage. But the RDX is basically the Honda CR-V. Which is a great vehicle. The CR-V is a great vehicle. And the RDX, they instead of having a four-cylinder, they put a 3.5-liter V6 in there. In the past, it had a turbocharged four-cylinder, and it gave good performance, but it was not good on gas.
Well, I've been driving my first-generation RDX for almost 6 years.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great handling. Oh, it's a fun vehicle. It does all kinds of things really well.
Yeah, and that's what I'm concerned with, is with them moving to a 6, that it may not be as fun as the old 4 was, for a turbo 4.
Yeah, well, the only way to find out is to drive it, but I believe it has more power, and it's more fuel efficient, and a bigger package, and it's a nice looking vehicle as well. I always thought that the RDX, the original one, well, the later ones, you know, like last year, looked a bit like a pug from the front. You know, it's a dog that's so kind of funny looking. It's cute, right? It's puggish.
So when are they going to air that review that Lacey did on the...
I believe that it might have already gone out. So go to drivingtelevision.com and have a look for it.
Okay.
And there's some interviews with the executives and engineers, what have you, at Acura. If it isn't on there, it might not have aired yet, but it will be coming soon. I believe it has.
Okay, and do you know how long it typically is before they start offering incentives on vehicles that have just been released?
Depends how fast they're moving. Here's an example. Jetta has been out for 2 years now, and it's been a hot, hot seller for Volkswagen. It's only now they're starting to offer incentives on that car. So it depends how well it sells. If a car really moves, they don't need to.
Yep.
If the car sales start to slow down, they start putting money on the hood, and you start seeing incentives like good financing, those sorts of things.
Right, right.
Yeah. So what you need to do is get out of your RDX, get into the new one, and see if you like it. But don't just do a 5-minute drive. Tell the guy at the dealer, I'm taking it for, you know, 45 minutes or so.
Actually, the dealerships in Calgary, they're pretty good. The one I've been dealing with, they'll let you take it for Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, take it over the weekend. That's the way to do it. You know, and if you can, maybe you can get driven there to pick it up and bring your RDX back, right?
Yes.
And get in and out of them and see. You'll notice it's bigger. And you'll notice that it's, you know, got a newer interior and what have you, but yeah, that's the best way to do it.
Sounds good.
Okay?
Thanks, Doc.
Anytime.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. George, Judy, Joe, Stacy, George, by the way, you're next. I called you Jorge earlier, which is wrong. That's the Spanish way to say your name, but we'll find out when we speak to George in a moment. But next, we're going to speak to Rick Balkan from New Car Sell-Off. Next. And welcome back to the show. The founder of an excellent website called newcarselloff.com joins us now. Rick Balkan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And for those who are maybe tuning in for the first time and have never heard of newcarselloff.com, refresh our memory. What is it?
We are a website where consumers go to buy deeply discounted brand new vehicles sold by franchise new car dealers across Western Canada. And for whatever reason, they're really motivated to sell excess inventory that they've got. So it could be past model year cars, it could be demonstrators, it could be a number of different vehicles. But one thing for sure, they're full warrantied cars with deeply discounted prices up to 45% off of the original MSRP in some cases.
Now, you worked in the business for many, many years. This is a problem for dealers. They have excess inventory, they're paying interest on it every month. They got to get rid of it, right? That's basically, you're solving their problem.
We are, but they lose, you win as a consumer. We found a niche in the marketplace that dealers are really motivated to sell certain inventory. Like I said, it could be last year's cars, it could be demonstrators, anything that doesn't currently work on their car lot. And that doesn't mean they're bad cars. It means that they just maybe bought too many of them, or for whatever reason, their market's a little slower, so they lose again and you win as a consumer.
So who, what kind of, give me like a sort of an outline of what kind of buyer goes to your site?
Well, we get a couple different types of things, Zach. We get the guy that's, first of all, very open to what they're looking for. They just are looking for a deal and they want to get a great price on a new vehicle. But again, they're open. But yet again, we appeal to the buyer that's specific. We are able to sort by make and by type of vehicle, so that if you know you're looking for an SUV and you want to buy a Ford, we'll bring up all the Ford SUVs that are there, and you just pick from the best of the deals that are available on our site at that point.
And you can also be alerted if you're looking for one specific type, right?
Yeah, we've got a thing called the sell-off alert on our website where you can put in your parameters, and as soon as the vehicle is posted that meets your criteria, we'll email you a link to the vehicle that we have posted so that you get first option on that car once it's posted.
So just over a month from now, right on this very show, we're giving away a smart car. Actually, you're giving it away. I'm just announcing it. So how do you enter to win a smart car?
Well, go to our website, newcarselloff.com, or you can actually go through your site, Zach, at motormouth.ca, and come and have a look at, first of all, check our site out. And then on the site, there's a link to win the new car. It's a brand new smart car we're giving away on July 1st on your show. So please enter and enter as many times as you want and pass along to your friends, because it's a great opportunity to build awareness for us, for our site, as well as you to win a free car.
NewCarSellOff.com. Rick Balkin, speak to you next week.
Thanks, Zach.
And we go back to the phone board and we say hello to George. Hey, George.
Hey, Zach. I'd like to get your opinion and advice on the turbocharger replacement on a 2005 Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
I had it in for service, and they were recommending that I get a turbo leak, or that I have a turbo leak, and an oil around the intercooler, and they recommend a turbo and intercooler replacement. We're looking at about $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your advice on anything, and what can happen if I don't do it or if I sell the car beforehand?
Yeah, the thing is, with a turbocharged engine, you do have all of that extra turbocharging business that can fail. So I guess the thing is, if you want to get a second opinion on it, you might go to a different dealer, or you might go to a Volkswagen specialist. I would kind of side with the technician. If they say that there's something wrong with it, then the vehicle is not going to work as it should, and I'm really not sure what could happen, but turbocharger failures, a lot of times they'll overheat, but that's maybe not the case with yours. So I don't know, but I think you need a second opinion if you're worried about it, and if you're going to sell the car, you definitely should be selling it in good repair, and you might get another price as well. So that's something that you need to do a little bit more homework on, is basically my answer. Is do some more homework, take it to another dealer maybe, or take it to an independent Volkswagen specialist.
Okay, I guess that's about all you can say. You don't really know what happens if I keep on driving it?
Well, how does it drive?
That's perfectly normal to me.
Yeah, so it's probably not at the point where it's hindering drivability. And you might want to phone them and say, you know, what happens if I keep driving this? You're not going to be getting the turbo effect. You'll just be driving the gasoline, or it's a diesel in this case. Is it the diesel or the... Oh, it's a 2-liter.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be getting the turbo effect, right? So the drivability will become hindered. So I'm not sure what they're referring to with what's wrong with it, but I think getting another opinion is the best way to go.
Yeah, my worry is if I go to another dealer, they would come up with the same thing if I ask them that possibly. Or...
Okay, I want you to go to my pal John at Van Wonder.
Van Wonder.
I know you live in Vancouver, right?
Right.
Yeah, Van Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a little shop in North Vancouver, and he's a Volkswagen guy. And tell him I sent you.
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate your help.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Okay, anytime.
Bye.
We're going to go next to Judy. Hey, Judy.
Hey.
Hey, Jude. Hi. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You never heard that before, right?
never. Zach, I've been looking at a Mitsubishi Outlander, a Honda CR-V, and a Kia Sorento.
Okay, let me second. Hang on. Slow down a second. You're looking at an Outlander, a what?
Yeah, a Honda CR-V
mm-hmm.
and a Kia Sorento, and I'm kind of leaning towards the Sorento because of the cargo space.
Bigger. Yeah.
And the option of the 191 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
But I notice it has what they call a 6-speed Steptronic transmission, and I'm not sure what that is.
All that is a 6-speed transmission. You put it in drive, and you drive it, and you forget it. It does all the shifting for you. With that transmission, and with many, many others, you have the ability to shift the gears I'm trying to remember, it's been a while since I drove the Sorento, with either a little toggle switch on the side of the shifter, or you can just push the shifter back and forth. Many, many cars have this feature, and if you don't want to use it, you don't have to. Just put it in drive and drive it. That's all it is.
Oh, okay.
It's the option to manually hold second gear. Now I want to go to third gear. Now I want to go to fourth gear. It's advantageous for driving through, you know, twisty mountain roads.
I really like that idea.
Yeah, so you know, get them to show you how it works, and then you can play around with it. So that's all that is.
Okay, and I hope this isn't a stupid question, but what is the difference between all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive?
All-wheel drive is the ability to give power to all four wheels, right?
Uh-huh.
Four-wheel drive is the ability to lock the power to four wheels.
Oh,
okay?
I see.
So it doesn't mean that it's always in four-wheel drive. It just means it has the ability to lock all four wheels.
Right.
All-wheel drive, with the Sorento as an example, will be a front-wheel drive biased unit.
Right.
So what it will do is it'll drive when you're just driving down the highway in the summer at 80 kilometers an hour and you don't need a lot of extra traction, it's just turning the front wheels.
Gotcha.
If when you get into rainy, slippery, slushy conditions and the car senses that it needs more traction, it will then shift power to the rear wheels on demand. That's called an on-demand system.
Right.
A four-wheel drive system can have the same thing, but it typically has the power going to four wheels or the ability to continually run with all four wheels.
Right.
So that Sorento will be shifting between front and all-wheel drive. Other ones will have a variation of that.
Right.
The CRV I like a lot. The other one I want you to try, and you maybe don't think you want to because it's a domestic, is the Chevy Equinox. And it has a lot of room. The Sorento and the Equinox are the biggest of that caliber of crossover.
Okay. What do you think about the reliability of the Sorento?
Well, Kia has come way up. I'm going to put you on hold here because we're running out of time. Has come way up when it comes to quality, along with Hyundai and their Korean counterpart there. So, it's a very nice vehicle and has very good quality scores. All out of time. Thanks to everybody who called in today. I'm Zach Spencer. I'll speak to you next week on Driving.